All right, Luke 2, verse 21. And when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. We spent a lot of time on circumcision. There's one more verse that we need to read. Colossians 2.
Colossians.
Starting verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, and after the rudiments or principles of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, and the putting off of the body of the sin, and of the sins isn't in the original text. It's putting off of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein you also are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Now, so somehow this circumcision is made without hands, in other words, made without human effort, is an act of God in response to your reckoning of yourself crucified and emptied. That has to be the predicate. Always bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. And what is that fruit that you bring forth? You see the emptiness and futility of all human effort, but especially your own. Amen? All right. Jesus is Isus in the Greek, and it means Yahweh is salvation, or God is salvation.
Back to Luke, is that word?
Yeah, Luke 2. 21. And his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Purification is the word. Remember that all of there's the waters and there's the blood. There's the offerings that have to do with blood and there's the offerings that have to do with water. And the water offerings all have to do with cleansing or purification. The touching of a leper or the ashes of the red heifer for touching a dead body. Or in this case, the woman is unclean after. She's unclean for 7 days after the birth of a child, of a son. She's unclean for 30 days after the birth of a girl. That sounds like it's discrimination. No, it really means it's so far much more important for the female. I mean, it's again this Remember in the law of Moses, there's a lot of should not do's that apply to women, but there's no should do's. And that's huge. And so this is all about, this is a type, the circumcision and the uncleanness was all about Christ anyway, but with the woman, it's about the bride. And it's to make sure that the bride is completely pure, because Christ was already pure. And it takes the 30 days in order to ensure that the bride would be completely pure. Is that understood? A little bit?
Actually, if you understand that, if you're a woman, you appreciate it.
Yeah, and also it's like when the woman is called the weaker vessel, it has nothing to do with her physical or intellectual strength. It has to do, it's applied to the vessel that carried the blood did not have a base. What do you call a vessel that's shaped like a cone with a point on the end, like a dunce cap upside down, whatever that word is. But the whole point of it is the blood could the vessel that's carrying the blood could never be set down because the blood would coagulate. And so that the weaker vessel means that it was carried in the arms of God, and that's what it means for a woman. That's why every problem in a marriage is the man's fault.
Say that again.
What?
Could you say that again? I kind of tripped it for a second.
Every problem in a marriage is the man's fault. Because husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And if you see what the church had done to Christ, then you can understand the patience that a husband must have in order to complete the type. And the only purpose of marriage isn't to have more little kids, or it isn't to have, the purpose of marriage is to reveal to the body the mystery of the bride and the son. It has no other purpose in God's eyes. Anybody want to discuss that? It has nothing to do with the world. The world system, it matters not whether you have homosexual marriages or any, I mean, that's this Bible is not to the world. And this Bible is not how-tos, it's a revelation of the mystery of God. What?
Well, that's all interesting in that there's so many things in here that if not seen that way, you automatically take it to yourself, because it says it straight up. Here's what you do, here's what you don't do, don't.
So, like wives, submit yourselves to the husband.
Oh, I mean, you read several things this morning about what to do or not do. So it's just a mystery how God has hid himself right in plain sight.
So no flesh can ever glory in his presence.
Yeah. It's just magnificent.
No flesh can ever get it right. Mm-hmm. Flesh is never to be tested. That's gone. No, it's meaningless.
That was a pseudo pun. Trusted, tested.
There's no pun there.
Why did the Lord? Why did the Lord have ordained circumcision for the eighth day then? While others in the community were rejoicing because of the circumcision, the child isn't too much in favor of it, and the parents aren't too much in favor of it, because they see their child in pain. Anyway, circumcision is deferred until the mother couldn't have gone into the temple until the eighth day after the birth because of the uncleanness. And that's, again, I'm not going to go into all that mystery, but it's so neat if you can see it. Instead of taking it to the flesh as a how-to, then it's just as it offends. Well, the mystery of God offends you anyway. But.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, because to be offended by some of this means you're not willing to lay your life down to understand. You're just offended and caught up in your own flesh.
But circumcision was always one of the greatest parables. Even in the law, it said that it's your heart that must be circumcised. And so it was the parable of the flesh, so you could see the mystery in the spirit. Anyway, according to the law of Moses, we're accomplished. So, we could talk about this one forever, but anybody have any questions about it? Or?
Well, the one question that sticks in my mind is if the woman is unclean for her, just disappeared, I answered
that. All right. Now, this next thing is kind of, it's not the next thing, never mind. They brought, when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And this word they brought is anago. And it means to take someone from one place and bring him to a higher place. And let's just look, because this is kind of neat in a whole lot of ways. So let's look at, go to Luke 4. This is the temptation of Christ. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, into the wilderness. And being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Now again, I'm saying unto you, and this is, I'll probably get shot from people listening. This isn't a little guy dressed in a red suit with a tail, with calves' hooves. It's Jesus' mind as Son of Man. When he was hungry, he was tempted. Again, it wasn't a snake. The snake was a metaphor for the mind of Adam and Eve. What, do you really, does everybody see that, or do you want to discuss it? Or? Okay. So here, and the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone to be made bread. And Jesus, as Son of God, answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil taking him up into a high mountain, and again, that's his word, anago. The devils took him up, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now you got to understand that Jesus had the capacity at this moment in time to solve every problem of the world, from the past to the future. And his mind was tempted. He could have solved the hunger. He could have solved pain. He could have solved every problem that you could imagine with the snap of his finger. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Well, it would have killed the chance for a bride. It's So he always was about his father's business, not what he perceived. All right. Well, anyway, we could go on and on the whole temptation, but we've studied that many times. And Jerusalem is it's Hero Soloma, Soluma, and it means the place of peace. It has nothing to do with that Jerusalem that was then or now is. That was always a parable for the New Jerusalem. The mother of us all, the place of peace.
Well, this had to do with it because that's what they were.
I know, but it was a parable for it.
Yeah, well, there,
even then it was a parable. Yeah, I mean, it happened there. To present. Oh, we're back at Luke 2. I'm sorry. They brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now, present is this word that seems like 100 years on back when we first started. It's the word peristemi. And it's to present yourself to another without question, for another's disposal, as they would do. And the great, this word's, it's great place in terms of the doctrine into which we've been delivered is Romans 12. So let's go to Romans 12, verse 1.
I got four Jerusalems rolling around in my head. You got the Jerusalem that was, that now is, it's over in the Middle East, and the New Jerusalem.
And the Jerusalem of your mind.
So there's a lot of Jerusalem.
Yeah, because they're a parable.
Yeah.
Well, for the one Jerusalem.
That.
We read this every time when we do the Passover homily of Melito. Jerusalem once had value, but now is without value. Israel once had value, but now is without value. The feasts that once had value, but now are without value. Because everything in the law and the writings and the prophets were the parable for the one that was to come.
That's, I think, where I'm confused, because I thought the one that now is ought to be the one that is, since he has come and it's finished, but it's the New Jerusalem, not your Jerusalem of the world, I guess.
Right, and that's why every stone, just as it happened there, there cannot be a stone left standing in any of the Jerusalems, including the one of your mind. It must be. Every high place must be made low, every low place must be made even. So the way is revealed in you.
Yeah, the only Jerusalem that's for real is the one where you're seated with him in heavenlies and it's nothing to do with you. All the other Jerusalems are self-centered in some respect.
Well, it had value. The Jerusalem of your mind never had value. But that was your place where your Sanhedrin sat. To give you the...
Make you think you're something.
Yeah. Okay?
I like that.
So Romans 12.
Romans 2 or Romans 12?
12. Again, there were no chapters or verses in the letter, but so let's just go back up to verse 33 of Romans 11 to set the stage. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, present there is this peristemi. It's to present yourself without condition for another's disposal. You present yourself a living sacrifice. And that act of presenting yourself as a living sacrifice, again, it makes you holy, acceptable unto God. And it's the highest service. Reasonable there is it's a word that means the highest thing that you can do beyond anything else. You're the top of the pyramid. The human race can go no higher than this point, presenting yourself as a living sacrifice. Be not conformed to this world. There is nothing about you that can have any ties to this world. You have no opinion about politics. You have no opinion about sports. You have no opinion about anything, because every time you do, you return yourself to the world and you're taking stands in the world. And nobody cares what your opinion is except you. And that's all I've done for 38 years is make fun of people's opinions, including my own. What? You agree with what? What?
Your last statement.
That all I've done is, you haven't known me for 38 years.
Well,
3.8. All right. So everybody understand what it means to present yourself as a living sacrifice. You put yourself at another's disposal. You are no longer your own. You have disowned yourself. Amen. And there are no exceptions. And if anybody doesn't believe this, please tell me why, because I'd like it not to be true.
Yeah.
All right, back to Luke.
There's a lot of humor in this.
What?
There's a lot of humor in this. The idea that you fight to maintain something that has no real value, and you try and pump up some value into it.
Is that a philosophy?
I'm seeing clearly that's.
Honestly, the humor I see in it is that, I can speak for myself, how I've taken life so seriously, taken myself so seriously.
How's that worked out for you?
Everybody else is laughing while you're taking it serious.
I always thought your phrase of love God and have fun was a little bit trite, but it really is true.
All right, back to Luke.
And so I was wrong again.
They brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Now, hidden in that verse 23, is one of the most incredible mysteries, and we don't have time to go into it. It's that word openeth. It means to divide asunder. And its spiritual meaning is a male child opening a virgin's hymen.
Yeah, you hit me on it, dude.
Well, and we will that for you to think about. And metaphorically, it means some incredible things. But if you ever doubted that the scriptures are about Jesus, he is the only one that's holy. Because he's the only one that opened a virgin's hymen. word, it's a word that means to divide asunder. And he is the only male child that ever opened a virgin's womb. Anyway, any thoughts on any of this? Any response? If you've heard and seen, what you will do is this will make your life so simple you can't even be a life without tension, without angst, without rancor, because it's his life. You have no self but him.
And most of all that you just mentioned is not external, it's spent internally.
Well, it'll have external effect.
Right. So much of it's internal.
Remember, God cares, doesn't care, give a hoot. Doesn't care at all what the outward manifestation of whatever you think is. He cares what goes on within you. In the time of the most severest testing, that's where it's the truth of you is revealed. Amen?
Amen.
Take it, big guy.